Joseph of Nazareth is such an intriguing biblical figure. We know of him, but we don't know a lot about him. Most of what we do know about Joseph is surmised from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke in the Christmas story, of which for us, everything else is so familiar. Joseph, even in the Christmas pageants, is very much in the background. And in fact, not a single word is attributed to Joseph in Scripture. He says nothing. Unlike Mary, we don't hear about his private thoughts, and no spoken words are recorded as being made by Joseph. Thanks to the Gospel of Matthew, we do learn that his father was named Jacob, and that Joseph is from the lineage or house of David. Otherwise, all we know is that his family hometown was Bethlehem, although he lived in Nazareth, and that he was a carpenter by trade. He was not wealthy, but he served God and kept the law. Joseph was a righteous man. He is, in essence, almost a sideline figure, even in the greatest story ever told, even though it is he that becomes the earthly father of Jesus. But there is certainly more to him than meets our eyes. While Joseph may be silent, if we look hard enough, we can see that he is a man who is stoic, steadfast, and dependable, a stand-up guy who can be counted on to do the right thing with no great fanfare, and the type of guy who doesn't get the credit he deserves. We first learn of Joseph when the scriptures tell us that he and Mary were betrothed. Now, a betrothal was an ancient Jewish marriage custom, and it meant more than being engaged as we understand it today. It was a pledge, and it was considered to be as sacred as marriage. A betrothal lasted about a year, after which time there would be a public wedding ceremony. And during this time, the two betrotheds were already referred to as man and wife, even though they were not yet living together as a couple. And if the man died before the wedding took place, the woman was already considered a widow. The only way to break a betrothal was through a legal divorce. And Deuteronomical law stipulated that a woman who becomes pregnant during a betrothal may be stoned to death as an adulteress. So what happens during Joseph and Mary's betrothal? Mary becomes pregnant. And the implication is that she must have been unfaithful to Joseph during their betrothal. This is a huge deal. And yet, what do we hear about all of this in the only place it's mentioned in the Bible? From the first chapter of Matthew. When Mary had been engaged to Joseph, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. This passage completely dismisses any turmoil, anger, betrayal, embarrassment, confusion, or fear Joseph may have experienced when he received the news that his betrothed was expecting a baby. He had every right to call her out based on the custom of the times. He had the option to divorce her publicly. But no, he decided to divorce her quietly. Joseph was a compassionate man. He didn't want Mary, this young girl, probably only 14 years old, to be publicly disgraced, or worse, publicly stoned. And Joseph came to this decision on his own, possibly against family and peer pressure. And even before he heard God's message, a message delivered to him in a dream from the angel of the Lord, to not be afraid. Words that only a few months later, a group of shepherds on a hillside at night would hear from a host of angels. Be not afraid. So quelling any fear he may have had, Joseph did what God asked of him. Joseph was a courageous man. It still couldn't have been easy, but he took Mary as his wife and gave the baby the name Jesus as he had been instructed. Joseph said yes to God by marrying Mary and adopting Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, as his own child. And Joseph's yes is no less important than the yes of Mary after she was visited by the angel Gabriel. Just as her yes demonstrated her humility and obedience, so Joseph's also demonstrates his. And I wonder if he too pondered in his heart for many months his dream's revelation that this child was to be the savior of the world. A revelation that was truthfully beyond human comprehension. Yet Joseph paid attention. He listened and obeyed and did what God asked of him. He paid attention again when Jesus was just a few years old and Herod set out to kill every male child under the age of 2. Listening again to the angel of the Lord through a dream, he took his family to Egypt for safety. That would have been an approximately 350-kilometer journey, a slow journey, on foot, with a toddler, and possibly a donkey. A daunting undertaking. It probably took them months, all going smoothly. Roads were treacherous in those days. And a few years later, he paid attention yet again when he was given an all clear by the angel of the Lord in another dream. Herod was dead, and it was safe to go back, this time to Nazareth. Another long and treacherous journey. During the 2 or 3 years they were hiding out in Egypt and traveling back and forth on those treacherous trips, Joseph kept them safe from harm. Joseph was a protector. And as any Jewish father would do, Joseph took Jesus to the temple as required by custom, first at 8 days for ritual circumcision and naming, and later at the ceremony for purification after childbirth to present their child to the Lord and make a sacrifice of 2 doves. Because as a poor carpenter, he couldn't afford to offer a lamb. Joseph was a righteous man. He brought up this child that he had not fathered as his own and taught him the trade of carpentry. Scriptures tell us that the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom. Much of it, I'm sure, learned working at his earthly father's side. Joseph was a good teacher. Moreover, Jesus' teachings are full of loving references about fatherhood, referring to God as Abba, Daddy. Jesus knew what it was like to have a father who loved him. And as we heard in the gospel reading today, we know that Joseph lovingly cared for and worried about his child. As told, when they went away from the synagogue after Passover and realized Jesus was missing, and Mary even says, "How could you do this? Your father and I were worried to death." Yes, Jesus knew what it was like to have a father who loved him. Joseph was a loving father. It is likely that Joseph died before Jesus' ministry began. Only Jesus' mother and brothers are mentioned later in the gospel stories of Jesus' life, where Jesus is referred to as son of Mary, no longer as son of Joseph. At least, Joseph did not have to witness his son's agony on the cross. Righteous, compassionate, courageous, humble, obedient, protector, a good teacher, and a loving father. Just a few of the qualities that we can discover about Joseph when we peel back the layers of the gospel stories. When I think back on what we learned about Joseph from Keith, I can understand why Keith may have selected Joseph. Keith talked about people helping others with fixing houses after the hailstorm in Calgary and about building homeless shelters. These are compassionate and caring acts. I can certainly imagine Joseph doing that, offering his skills to help those in dire circumstances. I bet Joseph would be right in there with Habitat for Humanity, too, if he was alive today. And Keith spoke about how he piped up when some bullies bragged about ripping up newly laid sod. Keith did the moral and honorable thing. He acted righteously, just as Joseph did. And Keith was also able to see the good father figure Joseph was to Jesus. Joseph is remembered on his Saints' Day, March 19th, which is considered to be the date of his death. He is venerated by the Anglican Church, as well as the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Orthodox Church, as well as the Oriental Orthodox Church. And it is no surprise he's the patron saint then of the Universal Church, of families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers, immigrants, craftsmen, engineers, and working people in general. As I was writing this homily, I felt like this should be one that was shared closer to or around Christmas. But I'm glad that Keith brought Joseph to our attention earlier. Because when we enter the time of Advent on November 29th and begin preparing our hearts for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, maybe we can think more deeply about not only Mary's yes, but also Joseph's. And during this important time of preparation, perhaps we too might spend extra time paying attention, listening for God's voice, asking ourselves, what is God asking of me? And what might my yes look like? Amen.